as millions, to survive as one. Migrations.
Filmed by some of the world's most accomplished wildlife cinematographers and narrated by Alec Baldwin, Great Migrations is being touted as the National Geographic's most ambitious project in its 122-year history. The 7-hour series features the journeys millions of animals make to ensure the survival of their species. The documentary's music composer, Anton Sanko, who has also worked on music for the cable television series Big Love and the forthcoming movie Rabbit Hole, starring Nicole Kidman and Aaron Eckhart, says there is a big difference between producing music for a cable television series and a documentary such as this.
Primarily in Great Migrations, I was providing a voice that was not heard. Obviously, the animals can't speak. So I'm providing an inner imagined monologue and drive and extending it and externalizing it with a more conventional drama like Big Love. There's a lot that's spoken on screen, and I can be a lot more subversive and less blatant. I can get out of the way a lot more. I don't have to be as powerful a presence. The National Geographic series is the music is hugely featured. It's, you know, the third. It's the animals, the narration, and the music on almost equal level. And it's also throughout pretty much the whole series. It just starts at the beginning, goes all the way to the end. It's just really one of the main characters.
So how does the process work? Is the documentary produced first and then you watch it and compose music, or do you do it alongside the video editors?
They sent me scenes as they were just roughing them out, and I would watch them and get a sense of the drama of the animal, the emotionality of the animal, the scale, and just try and figure out what the orchestration would be and how it would be developed thematically. I didn't really start working until the picture was finally locked, or as close to locked as it could be. This means they've stopped editing, because this type of music is so picture accurate. You know, when an animal makes a left turn, the music has to follow. And when an attack happens or something specific happens on screen, the music should be supporting that or be motivated by that. And in order for that to happen, I'd have to have a final cut. Otherwise, I'd be working on something and it would change. So I had to wait until fairly long in the process to actually start the composition process.
So how much time did it take?
I think the whole job was probably around 6 months from start to finish. You know, it got escalated towards the end. Things came a little bit faster. You know, schedules on these things are always up and down. But that's my rough guess.
The interplay of music with natural sound. How do you decide when do you let the nat sound do the talking and vice versa?
Right. Well, that's a very good question. This was all discussed with my lead producer, David Hamlin, who pretty much artistically oversaw the music. And we would have intense discussions like, okay, there's going to be a lot of wind here. You probably don't have to say very much. Or we're going to be underwater hearing the whales clicking. You know, that's an important sound. You know, so we made specific note of when the music would be out of the way. And, of course, as a producer, he knew more than I did what was going to be happening. So he gave me a heads up.
Okay. This documentary is being called the most ambitious event in the Nat Geo history. So what were the challenges in making the music equally ambitious to keep up with the striking visuals?
Yeah, well, it's working on a very high scale here, just in, you know, with the visuals and the editing, and of course, you know, Alec Baldwin. It was a lot to make sure I could just, you know, be on the same level as everyone else. The challenges were trying to find, you know, a unique voice and a unique theme for each animal, for number one, and then, as I mentioned earlier, just trying to somehow voice what I imagined their internal monologue would be. I mean, you know, they're animals, I don't know, but if I were a red crab and a crazy army ant were squirting acid in my eye, how would I feel?
The ants attack, spraying acid into their mouths and eyes, blinding them, leaving them helpless.
So I had to sort of personalize it to a certain degree and make it more of a humanistic approach. And also the final challenge was being able to decide where and when to say as much or as little as needed. That was always a challenge. Those were all, you know, decisions that were based on the pacing and the size of the animal and the challenges they had to go through.
Which was your favorite bit to compose music for?
I loved writing for the bats for some reason, because they have this innate elegance, but there's a certain creepiness. So you just write like a creepy, elegant kind of style of music. And that to me was just, I like everything I did there. It was a lot of fun. It came out just came very easily to me for some reason.
Okay. Which one was the most challenging?
Some of them, like the Cobbs, had a dark life that was hard to get a perspective on, a little bit harder for me. I would say probably the Cobbs.
Mm-hmm. So did the animals' lives, the migrations, did they move you?
Some of them, you know, some of them just suck you in, and I have to just stare at the story and absorb it. It was so beautiful and dramatic. Like, you know, the jellyfish, I don't know if you got to see that, but it's just visually stunning, and it takes a while just to, you know, wrap your head around that and just to think, God, how can I do justice to these beautiful images? And some of those stories, like my favorite one is, without a doubt, the red crabs. It's just so, you know, deep and textured and at times incredibly futile and dangerous and upsetting and then rejoicing. There's so many things that you know, I want to be able to say with the music as well in those kind of places. So each animal had its own specific arc.
Anton Sanko is the music composer for Great Migrations, a 7-hour global television event that premiered on Sunday on the National Geographic Channel. Another episode airs today at 9 p.m.